give us a little update on how things are going. So Happy New Year to Kevin Mulvey and Aaron Perkins. Thank you so much for coming over.
Really Happy New Year, Joe. Thank you for having us.
Happy and healthy.
Yes, you too.
We're all hoping. Yeah, that's exactly. As I mentioned, kids have been back a week today now, right, Kevin?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
How is it going?
Oh, so last week was challenging when we had the students return on Monday. We had a significant amount of positive cases, both staff and students. So myself, Mrs. Perkins, and the SLT, we really did need to make sure we had a solid plan in place to deal with that eventuality. It was somewhat expected that we would see a bump in our positive cases, so we worked through the vacation period to make sure that we were ready on Monday to the best of our ability. We worked with the state to provide KN95 masks to all of our staff. We did a test kit handout the Sunday before the return so that our staff, frontline staff, our paraprofessionals and teachers would be tested to make sure that we eliminated as best as possible the number of positive cases returning to school, particularly with that group of staff. So myself, Mrs. Perkins, members of the SLT, principals all volunteered that Sunday to give out hundreds of test kits prior to staff returning on Monday.
SLT?
Superintendent's Leadership Team.
Okay, very good. Yeah.
And so we did have some positive results from those cases. We were able to isolate them, and we worked to make sure that we had sub-coverage to cover the classes. That in itself is challenging because this year, due to COVID as well as last year when COVID began, we did see a decline in substitute teacher numbers.
Sure.
With the help of school committee and the mayor, we were able to increase the pay for subs, which helped a little bit. But we do sometimes have to ask our superintendent's leadership team to step up and cover classes, as well as perhaps combine studies in an auditorium while separating safely. So we use all of those strategies to make sure that, number one, our kids remained in school. Mm. And we were able to successfully do that all last week. Eventually evened out by probably about Wednesday. We saw an improvement in that staff that were quarantined in the weeks previous were now back and ready to teach.
Okay.
And of course the new guidelines that the state issued were helpful for that.
5 days in quarantine instead of 10, right?
So, correct. Yeah, the state issued updated COVID isolation and quarantine guidelines on December 28th, which essentially reduced the number of quarantine days from 10 to 5.
Right. Okay. So. And just today, you're aware, the mask mandate in those public schools has been extended to February 28th.
Yes, we did get that from the commissioner's office this morning, and we sent that out to our staff and our school committee, and we'll be including that information in our newsletter as well to the community later in the week.
Sure. The test and stay program, maybe if you could explain how that works and how it's going.
Absolutely. And I'll, Mrs. Perkins is the in-house expert on test and stay. So I'll hand that over to Mrs. Perkins.
Sure.
But we do want to encourage all students and staff to participate in test and stay. It's really critical in order for us to make sure that we stay in school and do so safely and healthy.
I think that's important. Yeah. It's not mandated. It's voluntary.
It is not mandated. It's only voluntary. Right. And we have about 2,350 participants right now. But Mrs. Perkins can go through the process of how that works.
Great. Thanks, Erin. Sure.
Sure. So it starts with pool testing. So test and stay, pool testing, and what they call symptomatic testing are the three components to the routine pool testing program that we participate in through the Department of Education. And so the pool testing happens once a week. It's with a PCR test.
Okay. So that's students, the nasal swab.
Yep, nasal swab. Okay. So students are swabbed once a week as part of a pool. Right now we have around 5 students and potentially staff if they're participating as well per pool. All of the samples are gathered together in one pool and then sent off to the lab, the CIC lab. Mm-hmm. We get the results. If there's a positive result, we retest with the antigen, the BioNX Now rapid antigen test. That's one piece of test and stay and pool testing. And then test and stay is if you have been, so there's a positive pool or there's a COVID positive case within the school building and you've been identified as a close contact who is not exempt from testing and isolation protocols and quarantine protocols, then you can participate in test and stay.
Okay.
So that means that every day for 5 days from the date of your last contact with the COVID positive individual, you're tested, you know, every morning using a rapid antigen test.
Okay.
And it's for 5 days. And okay. if the fifth day happens to fall on a weekend, your last day would be that Monday.
Okay.
And so that's how we're able, as long as children continue to test negative mm-hmm. and they remain symptom free, they're able to remain in school.
Okay. So 2,350 participants in Test and Stay. Not a lot when you consider the mm-hmm. whole population of the Quincy Public Schools, right? Are you concerned mm-hmm. about that?
We certainly would like to see more
yeah.
people participate. However, I will say, though, that if you're vaccinated,
okay.
if you're fully vaccinated, which the definition from the state of fully vaccinated is 2 weeks following the Pfizer or Moderna shot, or Johnson & Johnson if you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
The children, you know, can't get Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
But 2 weeks out after your second shot is considered a fully vaccinated individual. So if you're fully vaccinated, you do not have to, you can if you want to, but you do not have to participate in the pool testing and Test and Stay.
Okay.
And so we do have a number of students, again, we'd love it to be more, but
yep.
we do have a number of students that are vaccinated as well.
Sure.
But for those that aren't, absolutely, I mean, we think that it helps us identify positive cases, remove them as quickly as possible,
yep.
hopefully let them do their 5 days of isolation, they remain mild symptoms or symptoms are resolving and they're able to come back. And meanwhile, we keep our school in session and
mm-hmm.
keep our classes healthy and safe.
To that point about vaccinations, is it still if a school reaches an 80% vaccination threshold, they can at least request to have the mask mandate removed? Is that true?
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
Yep. Are there any mm-hmm. schools in Quincy that are getting close to that?
North Quincy
yeah.
is getting close to
okay.
that, but just as a reminder to everyone at home, even when we reach that threshold, and if we did send in a petition to get the state to approve the removal of masks in that particular school, we would still have to make sure that and monitor all those unvaccinated people
okay.
still need to wear a mask.
Oh,
so that
okay.
is a logistical issue that we would have to weigh in whether or not that's something we would want to pursue.
That has not been talked about. It's interesting.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, yeah. So there's that component there, and that would put another burden on the district to make
yep.
sure that we're actually enforcing and monitoring who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, making sure those unvaccinated individuals are continuing to wear a mask.
Okay. I can see where
that's
that gets to be a challenge. Yeah,
yes,
for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So something to consider.
Is the program, in your opinion, working?
The masking program?
The Test and Stay program.
Oh, from our perspective,
mm-hmm.
Test and Stay and pool testing is just one component of a multi-layered approach
okay.
to make sure that our schools stay healthy and safe. So the first approach, of course, is the mask wearing. The second approach is distancing to the extent possible. Third approach, obviously, is Test and Stay
mm-hmm.
and pool testing. The biggest improvement we've seen is, of course, the vaccination program for those who opted to get vaccinated. And I do have to thank Amana Community Health for partnering with us and the city to make vaccination clinics available for all of our staff and eligible students.
Which are now 5 years and older, right?
Correct,
yeah.
Yes, exactly. And it's because of the site at Old Colony, we're able to, in partnership with Amana, get many, many of our staff and students vaccinated, which has helped in the overall plan
sure.
To make sure that we stay in school, which
yep.
is most important, and all do so safely and make sure everyone stays healthy.
To that end, you're very aware, I'm sure, about the online petition to have a remote option.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
So since the COVID pandemic began in March of 2020, you know, we've been through the full remote, we've been through the hybrid, which is a combination of remote and in-person, and we know that there is no substitute for in-person learning. For not only the educational benefit of our students, but also the social-emotional
mm-hmm.
benefit of our students, and we always want to maintain that balance between both. And the in-person learning, there's just no better alternative. And so because of that, we want to make sure we do our very best in using that multi-layered approach
mm-hmm.
to keep our kids in school, but keep them in safely and healthy. So that's our main prerogative right now.
Sure. Have there been any impacts on after-school activities, extracurricular sports, theater, dance, music, robotics teams, anything like that?
Yeah, very good question. Yeah. The social-emotional piece that I had mentioned is critical for our students because obviously we maintain the educational piece, but making sure kids have other things to do outside of school, after school events, athletics, drama, choir, band, mm-hmm. Is critical for the social-emotional well-being of our students. And we have had some postponements of events, but we want to stress to the public and our students that we are only postponing. We have no intention of canceling those events.
Okay.
So, for instance, athletic events, our athletic directors are working with the other cities and town athletic directors to make sure that if games do have to be postponed, basketball and hockey, for instance, mm-hmm. that they will be rescheduled.
Okay.
So kids will not be missing out like they did perhaps last year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the same thing with our winter concerts.
Yeah.
They will be postponed once again. They were already postponed once. They'll be postponed once again. But again, our intention is to make sure that those concerts go on.
Okay.
And we'd probably be looking at, February for those.
Okay.
At this point.
Okay.
So again, we're stressing only postponement, no cancellations. These events will occur. It's just we're giving time for the latest spike to even out.
Yeah, some of the health reports have said maybe the end of this month or early next month things should start to plateau and eventually come down again. So
exactly. We're watching it.
Everybody's hoping
like everyone else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Aaron, for your part, I know that we've talked before about making up for lost learning.
Yes.
Do you think that's something that is happening and still needs to happen?
I do think it's happening.
Okay.
And I do think it definitely still needs to
it
happen.
Does. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, what the superintendent said with the idea of remote. So
mm-hmm.
given my background,
yes.
having been, you know, for years a former special education teacher,
right.
our most vulnerable students need to be in school. And, you know, I think that when we talk about, you know, people who have suffered during this pandemic, one of the groups is our children.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, lost learning is a very real thing. It's something we've seen clearly in our data,
really?
Both with the MCAS and our own MAP data, which is our district administered reports. We've definitely seen declines in some of our data results. So absolutely, it needs to keep happening. The best place, obviously, for that to happen is in the classroom and in school. And, you know, I think that just working together, hopefully we can keep our staff in school and we can keep everyone healthy so that we can start to help bring our students back on track and back to where they should be.
Yeah. Speaking of MCAS, will it be on a regular schedule this year?
It is on a regular schedule this year, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In person?
In person, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the goal right now, right? Keep
absolutely
as much in person as possible.
Yeah.
Okay, since we last chatted, which has been a little while now, there is now a new equity, diversity, inclusion officer within the Quincy Public Schools, Kevin.
So we have a position that the school committee agreed to fund.
Yes.
We've been working with our EDI work group, which is comprised of parents and students, as well as system administrators, principals, members of the superintendent's leadership team to develop a job description that's nearly complete, if not complete. I think we have another meeting scheduled for Thursday to finalize, and we'll be posting that position.
Okay. Give us a little update on how things are going. So happy new year to Kevin Mulvey and Aaron Perkins. Thank you so much for coming over. Really
happy new year, Joe. Thank you for having us.
Happy and healthy.
Yes, you too.
We're all hoping. Yeah, exactly. As I mentioned, kids have been back for a week today now, right, Kevin?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
How is it going?
Oh, so last week was challenging when we had the students return on Monday. We had a significant amount of positive cases, both staff and students. So myself, Mrs. Perkins, and the SLT, we really did need to make sure we had a solid plan in place to deal with that eventuality. It was somewhat expected that we would see a bump in our positive cases, so we worked through the vacation period to make sure that we were ready on Monday to the best of our ability. We worked with the state to provide KN95 masks to all of our staff. We did a test kit handout the Sunday before the return so that our staff, frontline staff, our paraprofessionals and teachers would be tested to make sure that we eliminated as best as possible the number of positive cases returning to school, particularly with that group of staff. So myself, Mrs. Perkins, members of the SLT, principals all volunteered that Sunday to give out hundreds of test kits prior to staff returning on Monday.
SLT?
Superintendent's Leadership Team.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so we did have some positive results from those cases. We were able to isolate them, and we worked to make sure that we had sub-coverage to cover the classes. That in itself is challenging because this year, due to COVID, as well as last year when COVID began, we did see a decline in substitute teacher numbers.
Sure.
With the help of school committee and the mayor, we were able to increase the pay for subs, which helped a little bit. But we do sometimes have to ask our superintendent's leadership team to step up and cover classes, as well as perhaps combine studies in an auditorium while separating safely. So we use all of those strategies to make sure that, number one, our kids remained in school.
Mm.
And we were able to successfully do that all last week. It eventually evened out by probably about Wednesday. We saw an improvement in that staff that were quarantined in the weeks previous were now back and ready to teach.
Okay.
And, of course, the new guidelines that the state issued were helpful for that.
5 days in quarantine instead of 10, right?
So, correct. Yeah, the state issued updated COVID isolation and quarantine guidelines on December 28th, which essentially reduced the number of quarantine days from 10 to 5.
Right. Okay. So. And just today, you're aware, the mask mandate in this public schools has been extended to February 28th.
Yes, we did get that from the commissioner's office this morning, and we sent that out to our staff and our school committee, and we'll be including that information in our newsletter as well to the community later in the week.
Sure. The test and stay program, maybe if you could explain how that works and how it's going.
Absolutely. And I'll, Mrs. Perkins is the in-house expert on test and stay, so I'll hand that over to Mrs. Perkins.
Sure.
But we do want to encourage all students and staff to participate in test and stay. It's really critical in order for us to make sure that we stay in school.
Yeah.
And do so safely and healthy.
I think that's important. Yeah. It's not mandated. It's voluntary.
It is.
Yeah.
Not mandated. It's only voluntary.
Right.
And we have about 2,350 participants right now. But Mrs. Perkins can go through the process of how that works.
Great. Thanks, Erin. Sure.
Sure. So it starts with pool testing. So
okay.
Test and stay, pool testing, and what they call symptomatic testing are the three components to the routine pool testing program that we participate in through the Department of Education. And so the pool testing happens once a week. It's with a PCR test.
Okay.
So
that's the nasal swab.
Yep, nasal swab. Okay. So students are swabbed once a week as part of a pool. Right now we have around 5 students and potentially staff if they're participating as well.
Mm-hmm.
Per pool. All of the samples are gathered together in one pool and then sent off to the lab, the CIC lab.
Mm-hmm.
We get the results. If there's a positive result, we retest with the antigen, the BioNext Now rapid antigen test. That's one piece of test and stay and pool testing. And then test and stay is if you have been, so there's a positive pool or there's a COVID positive case within the school building, and you've been identified as a close contact who is not exempt from testing and isolation protocols and quarantine protocols, then you can participate in test and stay.
Okay.
So that means that every day for 5 days from the date of your last contact with the COVID positive individual, you're tested, you know, every morning using a rapid antigen test.
Okay.
And it's for 5 days. And
okay.
if the fifth day happens to fall on a weekend, your last day would be that Monday.
Okay.
And so that's how we're able, as long as children continue to test negative,
mm-hmm.
and they remain symptom free, they're able to remain in school.
Okay. So 2,350 participants in test and stay. Not a lot when you consider the
mm-hmm.
whole population of the Quincy Public Schools, right? Are you concerned
mm-hmm.
about that?
We certainly would like to see more
yeah.
people participate. However, I will say, though, that if you're vaccinated,
okay.
if you're fully vaccinated, which the definition from the state of fully vaccinated is 2 weeks following the Pfizer or Moderna shot, or Johnson & Johnson if you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
The children, you know, can't get Johnson & Johnson.
Right.
But 2 weeks out after your second shot is considered a fully vaccinated individual. So if you're fully vaccinated, you do not have to, you can if you want to, but you do not have to participate in the pool testing and test and stay.
Okay.
And so we do have a number of students, again, we'd love it to be more, but
yep.
we do have a number of students that are vaccinated as well.
Sure.
But for those that aren't, Absolutely. I mean, we think that it helps us identify positive cases, remove them as quickly as possible, hopefully let them do their 5 days of isolation. They remain mild symptoms or symptoms are resolving and they're able to come back. And meanwhile, we keep our school in session and keep our classes healthy and safe.
To that point about vaccinations, is it still, if a school reaches an 80% vaccination threshold, they can at least request to have the mask mandate removed? Is that true?
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
Yep. Are there any schools in Quincy that are getting close to that?
North Quincy is getting close to that, but just as a reminder to everyone at home, even when we reach that threshold, and if we did send in a petition to get the state to approve the removal of masks in that particular school, we would still have to make sure that and monitor all those unvaccinated people still need to wear a mask.
So that
is a logistical issue that we would have to weigh in whether or not that's something we would want to pursue.
That has not been talked about. It's interesting.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah. So there's that component there, and that would put another burden on the district to make sure that we're actually enforcing and monitoring who's vaccinated, who's not vaccinated, making sure those unvaccinated individuals are continuing to wear a mask.
Okay. I can see where that gets to be a challenge.
Yeah, yes, for sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So something to consider.
Is the program, in your opinion, working?
The masking program?
The test and stay program.
From our perspective, test and stay and pool testing is just one component of a multi-layered approach to make sure that our schools stay healthy and safe. So the first approach, of course, is the mask wearing. The second approach is distancing to the extent possible. Third approach, obviously, is test and stay and pool testing. The biggest improvement we've seen is, of course, the vaccination program for those who opted to get vaccinated. And I do have to thank Amana Community Health for partnering with us and the city to make vaccination clinics available for all of our staff and eligible students.
Which are now 5 years and older, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And it's because of the site at Old Colony, we're able to, in partnership with Manic, get many, many of our staff and students vaccinated, which has helped in the overall plan to make sure that we stay in school, which is most important, and all do so safely and make sure everyone stays healthy.
To that end, you're very aware, I'm sure, about the online petition to have a remote option.
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
So, since the COVID pandemic began in March of 2020, we've been through the full remote, we've been through the hybrid, which is a combination of remote and in person, and we know that there is no substitute for in person learning. For not only the educational benefit of our students, but also the social-emotional benefit of our students, and we always want to maintain that balance between both. And the in-person learning, there's just no better alternative. And so because of that, we want to make sure we do our very best in using that multi-layered approach to keep our kids in school, but keep them in safely and healthy. So that's our main prerogative right now.
Sure. Have there been any impacts on after-school activities, extracurricular sports, theater, dance, music, robotics teams, anything like that?
Yeah, very good question. The social-emotional piece that I had mentioned is critical for our students because obviously we maintain the educational piece, but making sure kids have other things to do outside of school, after school events, athletics, drama, choir, band is critical for the social-emotional well-being of our students. And we have had some postponements of events, but we want to stress to the public and our students that we are only postponing. We have no intention of canceling those events.
Okay.
So, for instance, athletic events, our athletic directors are working with the other cities and town athletic directors to make sure that if games do have to be postponed, basketball and hockey, for instance, that they will be rescheduled.
Okay.
So kids will not be missing out like they did perhaps last year.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And the same thing with our winter concerts. Yeah. They may be They will be postponed once again. They were already postponed once. They'll be postponed once again. But again, our intention is to make sure that those concerts go on.
Okay.
And we'd probably be looking at, what, February for those?
Okay.
At this point.
Okay.
So again, we're stressing only postponement, no cancellations. These events will occur. It's just we're giving time for the latest spike to even out.
Yeah, some of the health reports have said maybe the end of this month or early next month things should start to plateau and eventually come down again.
So exactly. We're watching it.
Everybody's hoping
like
for
everyone
that.
Else. Yeah. Exactly.
Aaron, for your part, I know that we've talked before about making up for lost learning.
Yes.
Do you think that's something that is happening and still needs to happen?
I do think it's happening.
Okay.
And I do think it definitely still needs to
it
happen.
Does. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, what the superintendent said with the idea of remote. So mm-hmm. given my background,
yes.
having been, for years a former special education teacher,
right.
our most vulnerable students need to be in school. And, you know, I think that when we talk about, you know, people who have suffered during this pandemic, one of the groups is our children.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, lost learning is a very real thing. It's something we've seen clearly in our data,
really?
Both with the MCAS and our own MAP data, which is our district administered reports. We've definitely seen declines in some of our data results. So absolutely, it needs to keep happening. The best place, obviously, for that to happen is in the classroom and in school. I think that just working together, hopefully, we can keep our staff in school and we can keep everyone healthy so that we can start to help bring our students back on track and back to where they should be.
Yeah. Speaking of MCAS, will it be on a regular schedule this year?
It is on a regular schedule this year, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In person?
In person, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the goal right now, right? Keep
absolutely
as much in
person
as possible.
Yeah.
Okay, since we last chatted, which has been a little while now, there is now a new equity, diversity, inclusion officer within the Quincy Public Schools, Kevin.
So we have a position that the school committee agreed to fund.
Yes.
We've been working with our EDI work group, which is comprised of parents and students, as well as system administrators, principals, members of the superintendent's leadership team to develop a job description that's nearly complete, if not complete. I think we have another meeting scheduled for Thursday to finalize, and we'll be posting that position.
Okay.
And we'll follow all of our regular posting protocols, 30-day posting. It will be sent out via multiple channels so that we can kind of cast the widest possible net to find the best possible person for this position. It
okay.
will be a position that will have it will have varying pieces that will cover everything from curriculum to human resources to the social emotional well-being of our students and culture and climate within the school system. So it is a very big job, a very important job, much needed job, and we're looking forward to getting that posted and vetting our candidates and making sure that we select the best possible person for this job.
Is this something that other school districts are looking at, do you know? Or
yes, absolutely.
Done?
Other really? School districts have been doing it. Some have already done it. Some are moving into similar position that we are, which is moving towards posting and hiring. So there will be a competitive market out there to compete against.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously we know that's a challenge, but nevertheless we are committed to finding the right person for this job.
What kind of system would be put in place for students' voices to be heard? Because that seems to be kind of the overriding issue that led to this new position.
Absolutely. So and Mrs. Perkins can weigh in on this as well, but since the walkout began, we put into place multiple strategies to help maximize student voice as well as parent voice on these issues. So we have implemented restorative circles through our restorative practice initiative that we had been working on for some time, even prior to the walkout. So that was helpful in getting our staff up to speed with regard to professional development on how to have these difficult conversations with students and families. Obviously, we'll have parent academies, our new EDI director will hopefully spearhead all of these initiatives. But certainly we're making sure that our students have greater participation on, for instance, the EDI work group, greater participation on school-led and student-led initiatives throughout the district. And I don't know if Mrs. Perkins, you have anything else to add in those areas. But
I think that one of the biggest things that we heard when all that, when the walkout happened and everything kind of came to a head for us was the need to have an updated handbook, an updated student handbook. And I think that the students really felt, and I don't want to speak for them, of course, but what we heard was that they really felt like their voice wasn't a part of the decisions or in this context, the student handbook, that it wasn't clear to them. You know, that some of the consequences or things that happen when you have incidences of bias or microaggressions or harassment or racial incidences, that they really felt like it needed to be clearer within our student rights and responsibility, and that they wanted to be a part of that process. So, you know, so I think that that is one of the things that the equity work group is tackling right now. And there are students from both high schools, multiple students from both high schools as part of that equity work group. And, you know, I think the idea is to make sure that our students are reflected in such an important document that kind of governs our disciplinary process throughout the district. So, you know, that would have been the only thing that I would say that was really clear to me was that they really wanted to have a voice in the decisions that are made.
Yeah, that would be for older students, middle and high school students. What can be done for the younger students who might not be able to express themselves but are experiencing issues like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, one of the things that we have done is we have partnered with, so every school in the district, through Citywide. They have an EDI Citywide group as well.
Okay.
The parents have formed it, and so every school in the district has EDI parent representatives that are currently, you know, working with their principal. And so we actually are partnering with them. We actually are going to have a meeting this month, so all of the principals and all of the parent EDI reps are going to get together.
Okay.
Was going to be in person, now it's probably going to be Zoom.
It's like everything.
But, so we're actually meeting at the end of this month so that we can talk about some projects that we can do together. And, you know, I think every school is a little bit different and unique in what their needs are. But I think for our younger students, you know, the parents are a really great reflection of what the need is in those individual schools, and they're able to voice that to us.
And those principals know what's going on in their schools. They
Correct.
Know each individual child and their individual issues. So that's, I think that's a good
idea. Yeah, so we're going to do some really, hopefully we'll have a really great partnership there and do some fun activities for our little ones with the EDI
group. We're up against the clock, but anything else we'd like to talk about right now, do you think?
I just would like to thank our staff, particularly our nursing staff, with regard to their efforts going above and beyond their normal duties to make sure that all of our test and stay and pool testing and close contact work that they do to keep our students safe and healthy within the district is recognized. And we're doing our very best to help them with regard to the workload. It is challenging, and we're looking at different options to do that. But a thank you to particularly the nurses, but all of our staff throughout this pandemic, but as well as the students and families for their patience during these challenging times. So,
thank you both. And hopefully next time you're here, we can say it's over.
Yep. Thank you. Yes, I hope so.
You're very welcome. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
You're welcome.